Good morning. A report has been published this morning from the Nevin Economic Research Institute into the economic implications of Brexit for Northern Ireland. It says that a UK decision to leave the EU would cause short-term disruption to trade and represent a disproportionate risk to the Northern Ireland economy. Is the economy becoming a weak spot for the Brexit campaign? Well, the DUP MP, Sammy Wilson, is with us this morning. Sammy, good morning to you.
Morning.
Good morning. Well, what are your opening thoughts?
Well, my opening thoughts are that this report is probably much more balanced than some of the nonsense we've had from the Treasury and some of the other consultants who, of course, get quite a lot of money from the EU and have produced reports. It doesn't try, like the Treasury did last week, to predict that in 16 years' time we're all going to be £4,302, 10 pence worse off or something. It recognises that, first of all, that in truth, nobody can accurately predict what would happen to the trading relationship with the UK and the EU and the wider world. Secondly, it recognises that a lot of the outcome will depend upon the political decisions which are made if the United Kingdom decides to leave the United Kingdom and not based on economic models. Thirdly, it debunks the notion that we are net recipients of vast amounts of money from the EU, and the part that Stephen and I would have some difficulty with is this kind of tenuous argument that somehow or other we're more vulnerable to changes in trade patterns and what the rest of the UK would be if we were to leave the EU, because it's based on a figure which I think has been inflated. It says that nearly 60% of our trade is with the EU, whereas it's only 46%.
But it's a stab in the dark. No matter what detail you go into, this report says that no economic modelling can predict such outcomes. And it also says that leaving the EU would represent a disproportionate risk to the Northern Ireland economy. Right. Our economy isn't perfect at the minute, is it?
Stephen, first of all, if there's a stab in the dark, and it, I suppose, does say that you can't have economic models, can't predict what will happen. But that's equally true, of course, for those who use economic models to say that we're better to stay within the...
better the devil you know than the devil you don't.
No, certainly. Well, here's what we know about the devil that we're associated with at the moment. We know that, first of all, it takes away our ability to make decisions about our own economy. 60% of decisions are made by the EU and not by the UK Parliament. Secondly, it takes away the ability to control our own borders and who comes into the country and who leaves the country. And thirdly, we know that it prevents us from entering into trade arrangements unilaterally with some of the most expanding parts of the world. And lastly, we know that the bill for being a member of the European Union is going up steadily year on year, and currently is costing us $10 billion. So the devil we know is a devil that we should want to get out of any relationship with at present.
Well, Tom Kelly's the chairman of the Northern Ireland Stronger In campaign. How would you react to that, Tom?
Well, it's not even a matter of making economic forecasts on what you know. There is economic realities out there. We do trade mostly with Europe. The countries that Sammy says we want to expand our trade in, two of those largest countries are China and India, and they've said to us, stay in the EU. So it seems as if all the expert opinion in the world comes down against the kind of evidence provided by Sammy Wilson, Kate Hoey, Nigel Farage, and it just doesn't add up, Stephen.
Well, Tom, could I just say to you that if you look at the figures, and these are the figures which were produced by the Office of National Statistics and by DETI last year, we sell £22.5 billion worth of goods outside Northern Ireland. More than half of that goes to GB. Only 25% of it goes to the EU. And the rest goes to areas outside the EU. So most of our trade is not with the EU. Most of our trade is actually with GB. And in fact, if you take it, 75% of our trade is with countries that we would no longer have an association with if we were to leave.
Sammy is talking absolute rubbish, because the bottom line is, even in relation to control...
Hold on, Sammy, you've had a good go now. Hold on, go on, Tom.
Even in relation to control of your borders, it's very, very clear that if you want to do business with the EU, as Norway does, and who have their own independent arrangement, you still have to accept EU rules on immigration. At the moment, Britain doesn't accept EU rules on immigration, and therefore has a better deal than Norway as exists. And the logic of actually exiting Europe to actually enter into a Norway situation would be actually a situation where you pay, but you have no say. You actually pay more per head per capita into the EU, and you accept the complete free movement of people.
Absolutely no sense. You're talking rubbish there, and you know you're talking rubbish. There are 20 countries which do not have any immigration arrangements with the EU that are not EU members, that don't even have trade agreements with the EU, and yet they sell £2.6 trillion worth, or euros worth of goods every year to the European Union. They don't have to give freedom of movement of people from the EU into their countries. Some of them, in fact, most of them don't even have formal trade agreements with the EU, and yet they sell the equivalent of the GDP of Great Britain and France EU countries. So, you know, let's not have these claims made that unless we open our borders to movements of people from the rest of the EU...
The only people living to open the borders are you, Sam. You are using fear of immigration as a last resort argument to frighten people into something that they actually don't even believe. And polls are suggesting that the majority of people in Northern Ireland want to stay within the EU. But that's something you can't accept. But you're slow to most things.
Tom, first of all, I am not using the fear of immigration. In fact, I think I've already debated this with you. As far as I'm concerned, even if we were to leave the EU, there would still be a flow of people in and out of the United Kingdom. The difference would be that we would have control of it. We would decide that if there were good economic reasons for people coming and living in the United Kingdom, then they should come, that we would judge our immigration and the number of people we could accept on the basis of how our services and our public services would stand up to that.
Sammy, for example,
Sammy,
how would a border with the Republic be closed for immigration but open for trade? How would that work?
Well, in the
event of a Brexit.
Okay. Well, before we ever joined the EU, we had a common travel arrangement with the Irish Republic, and that common travel arrangement still stands. Indeed, Irish ministers have said that they would want that common travel arrangement to stay, even if we did leave the EU. And of course, where do the controls occur then? The controls occur when people come into Ireland, and that makes absolute sense because the Irish government don't want illegal immigrants or terrorists to be able to come through their porous borders. One of the reasons why they didn't go in for the Schengen arrangement, and they're outside it. So there would be controls actually when people come onto the island of Ireland. And that's why you could then have freedom of movement into the rest of the United Kingdom.
Do you concede, Sammy Wilson, that your campaign is on the back foot? You've had President Obama, leader of the free world, over here urging people not to leave Europe. Does your campaign need the opposite game?
No, I think, first of all, President Obama's interference has probably helped our campaign. If there's one thing that people will rankle against is this arrogant way in which he has come and scolded us all and then bullied us and told us we will not get any trade arrangement with America. Because, first of all, he won't have the power. And secondly...
You're calling Obama a bully.
Well, he was a bully, and that's exactly what he did. And indeed, if you look at what he said, Stephen, it didn't even make sense. We currently don't have a trade arrangement with America, yet we sell £62 billion worth of goods to America every year. So whether we're in the EU or not in the EU, we will still have the current trading arrangements that we have with America, because Americans buy our goods because they want them.
President Obama said we'll be at the back of the queue for doing a trade deal.
Back of the queue, but don't need a trade deal. That's the first thing. We sell £62 billion worth of goods every year to America at present without a trade deal. And indeed, if he had even looked at the record of trying to do a trade deal with the EU at present, they've been trying for 7 years to get a trade agreement between the EU and America and have failed to do so because they can't get agreement amongst the 28 countries.
Let's head to Ballycastle. Alan. Morning, Alan.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Go ahead.
Oh, yes. You're giving Sami a bit of a hard time there, but that's not...
Well, he's calling President Obama a bully. I wonder the next time Arlene goes off to the White House for St. Patrick's Day, or indeed President Obama comes to Northern Ireland and, you know, you've got the First and Deputy First Minister meeting him when he gets off his plane. I wonder, are the DUP going to stand over their bully comments?
Sure, he'll not be back here. His presidency finishes at the end of the year.
Well, that's fair comment, actually.
For the last three or four years, President Obama, whenever he's been asked for comments about Britain's position in the EU, he has always said that his administration thinks that there should be a strong UK inside a strong EU. Having said that, the UK is strong, but sure, the EU is going down the tubes.
And Alex in Lisburn. Morning, Alex.
Morning. I was just listening to the Question Time last night, and it was Kate Hoey who said under pressure, for me it's not about the money. And I just thought, that's fine, Kate, if you're an MP and you've been an MP for a long time, like Sammy, you've got a good pension. But if you're paying interest on a mortgage, and if the British economy tanks after... If the people do vote to leave, and the British economy tanks, not only will people see their interest rates go up on their mortgages, but what the interest that Britain pays on the millions upon millions that it borrows could also go up. And that'll make any savings Sammy's talking about from Europe small fry. He also mentioned the border of the South, about security, that the South didn't enter the Schengen Agreement. Well, neither do we. So if we're not worried about people coming in from the South, why are we worried about people coming into Britain at the minute? Because they have basically the same arrangement. I find that strange. I also find the whole thing about America, about, you know, it's almost like, and maybe it's almost as though we're on an equal footing with America. I mean, if I was part of a country with the landmass of America, the population of America, the economy of America, and the wealth of America, I wouldn't want to be in the EC either. But the fact is, we're not. And I think a lot of these politicians like Boris Johnson, they look back to the old days when you had Churchill and Stalin and Roosevelt sitting on the deck chairs on a battleship. But we're not there any longer.
Do you want to take that on, Sammy?
We don't have the battleships anymore. We're not as big a country as America. So to say because America wouldn't do it, we shouldn't do it, is a nonsense.
Let me just take the last point. First of all, this whole idea that we do Britain down, Britain is the fifth biggest economy in the world. We are members of the Security Council in the UN. We are also a major member of NATO, providing protection for the rest of Europe. We are the centre of the Commonwealth, which has a population of, what, over 1,000 million people, and some of the fastest growing economies in the world. The English language is a language that's accepted all around the world, and that helps and aids in trading relationships. So this idea that somehow or other we are so small and vulnerable.
I'm not doing Britain down.
Bureaucrats in Brussels.
Tom
it's
Kelly.
It's just a nonsense. And unfortunately, it's one of the ones which even the British Prime Minister, in talking down the UK economy, has one of the myths that he's perpetuated.
Tom Kelly, when people like you are arguing against change and people are fearful of change, there's a large body of people in this country and they don't like their laws being overridden by a court outside of this country without democratically elected people in this country being the majority of the people making that decision. For example, businesses in this country, they don't like some of these wacky rules that are imposed by the European Union being imposed on the UK without the UK being able to extradite themselves from those rules.
The majority of laws that impact on people in the United Kingdom are made in the United Kingdom. The Council of Ministers and the Parliament oversee the work of the Commission. You're bound to have a secretariat. In the same way, in the United States, there's a president and he has an executive team of secretaries of state who do exactly what the commissioners do. And your caller made a very good point. The United States of America already is a confederation, a federal system of small countries who cede something to get the greater good out of their marketplace. Some of those states are bigger than countries themselves. But come back for a minute, Stephen, to some of the points that Sammy deliberately throws away. Brexiters say there'll be no impact on travel between within Northern Ireland, Southern Ireland, and Northern Ireland and the UK. those of us who remember the famous Gate 49 remember how we used to be herded as people from Northern Ireland. The reality is we will go back to days like that, and the Brexit campaign already admit that. Lawson is saying that, and yesterday a Justice Minister, Junior Justice Minister Raab, also said that. He actually said that we would need visas to go on holidays again to Germany and Spain and France.
You would need a visa to go on holiday to Germany or France?
Well, this is what the Junior Minister Raab said yesterday.
Well, how come we can go to America for up to 90 days without much hassle?
Well, you don't need a visa at the moment to go to Britain, Germany and France, but the reality is you will need one. For those of us who travel across the world, I mean, it is extremely inconvenient to start having to collect visas in your passport again.
Extremely inconvenient to go to America? You think people listening to this programme this morning who have been able to go to America find it extremely inconvenient? It's a tick in a box on the internet to go to America.
Stephen, if you go up to the international airport and you take a flight, where are the majority of those passengers heading to? Are they heading to the States or are they heading to Europe?
I'm just using the example that obviously America isn't in the EU and it is not a big hassle.
It's still a process to go through.
It's a process.
It's a process that you don't have to go
Sammy?
Through. But people at the moment don't have to go through that process. The bottom line is these are not something that we're...
Scare tactics from you, Tom Kelly. Scare tactics, isn't it?
Hold on.
To suggest that it would be difficult all of a sudden to go on a holiday to Paris.
Stephen, my name is not Rob. I'm not the person who has said this. This is a Brexiter who said it. He's following up on comments by Lord Lawson who said it. These are things that they have said. Nobody's putting words into their mouth. And the reason they're saying them is because they don't know what will happen.
No.
The nonsense that you don't need a trade agreement as well. I pointed out already that the fact is two of the biggest trading partners, the Commonwealth has 65% of its countries currently negotiating with the EU. Why are they doing that? Because the EU brings more to the table than the UK
well,
for
let's,
them.
Well, let's take the first point. People will find it difficult now, Sammy, to go on holiday to France and Germany, claims Tom.
Well, that's not true. Of course, people in Switzerland can travel freely into European countries without a visa on a day-to-day basis. They're not members of the EU. The same with people from Iceland, Norway, etc. This is another red herring that Tom's throwing into.
Sammy, if you look at the free trade agreement area between the Nordic countries, you'll see that there are visa requirements between some of them.
And secondly, Tom, there are. I've just already pointed out that China, Russia, and America.
Why has China's president stayed in the EU then?
There is no requirement for freedom of movement between those countries and the EU. There's no requirement that Labour has
Sammy,
to really move.
Sammy, why go back so to the point? Why do they want you to stay in the EU? Why has the president said that? Why did President Modi of India, who is the third largest investor after France and the United States in Britain, say to you guys, stay in the EU? These are the countries you want to do business
John
with.
John in Belfast next morning, John.
Hello, Stephen. Stephen, I'll give an example. I was up in the city hospital yesterday in outpatients. And while I was sitting there was three people come in. They could not speak a word of English. They were waiting to the doctors. And those three people had... The people in there with them who could speak their language, and then they were talking with the doctors, and then they were having a conversation with them. Is that what Britain has come to? How much money is that spent on translators?
John, thank you. Kevin and Armagh. Morning, Kevin.
Hi. It's just Sammy's idea that the EU is going to accept Britain in when or if they decide to pull out. It's just like a club. You don't agree with the rules of the club and you pull out, cheerio, sling your hook, you're on your own, paddle in your own canoe. There's going to be no agreement between the European market and Britain because they're not going to want to know Britain. They're going to be a pariah, so you are going to be on your own.
Well, could I just say to you, Kevin, that currently they're the top 20 countries that trade with the EU sell the equivalent of the full amount of income and output which is generated by France and Britain together. 2.6 trillion euros worth of goods and services traded every year by those 20 countries. Many of them don't even have a trade agreement including Russia, China, and America, with the EU, yet goods freely come into the EU. So why would Britain be treated any different?
You don't because you were a member of the club, the first and you didn't agree with the rules of the club. You're out.
Have to
the
have
club's bigger than you.
That's the first.
I mean, you're going to have the Spanish, the expats in Spain and Italy and France and all been chucked out too because they are not members of the club anymore. Your European passport is no good deal.
Well, Kevin, let's stick to your first point, and we'll come to your second point. So, first of all, I think you'll accept that there are countries which sell extensively to the EU, and they don't even have a trade agreement with the EU. The second
yes,
thing is
certainly.
This, that many of the goods which we sell...
But they're not going to... They're going to treat many, like
many
a pariah.
Sell to the,
they're going to say,
yes,
we're members,
you've
had all the benefits, and all
now
the rest of it...
You don't want to hear the answer, Kevin, do you not?
You don't want to, you don't
okay.
want to be in the club, right?
Sammy, just to deal... Okay, Sammy, just to deal with the second issue, it is true, isn't it, that for those people who are living, expats who are living... within the EU. They've moved from Northern Ireland or elsewhere in the UK and they've bought a home there and they've set up a life there. Well, they're doing that under the rules of the EU. You cannot guarantee them that they wouldn't have to pack up and move back to the UK. Could
well,
you?
Even the most extreme Europhiles have not suggested that people will be kicked out because they happen to be UK citizens living in the EU. Just as
well, how would they continue to live there? Under what basis? They'd have to apply for a new visa, wouldn't they?
No, well, let me explain. Just
they would have to enter new arrangements for their pensions to be paid in for a start into those
people
who have made their homes.
Who are currently living in the UK and have immigrated into the UK from other parts of Europe would not automatically be kicked out if Britain...
I'm not talking about...
Mind the having borders if you're not going to kick them out. What's your idea? You've got to keep them out so you kick them out.
For the future, and for people who want to move in the future, there would be different arrangements, but they wouldn't apply retrospectively. So people who are already in place could not be moved out.
Okay. Just help me. Help me with this, Sammy. Those people, those UK citizens who are currently living abroad, they're doing so because of the freedom that the European Union gives them to live abroad. If we weren't in the EU, on what basis would that UK citizen be living in France?
Well, it would be living on the same basis they're living at present, that they've gone there, they've moved there, they've taken up residence there, just as people who have come from the EU.
No, but they're a UK citizen, not living with, not under the EU rules allowed to live there, so they would have to apply for a new visa, wouldn't they?
Well, many of them don't. They haven't had to have a visa at the moment.
No, because they're part. Because they're an EU citizen. But if they were not an EU citizen, they would have to apply for a new visa, wouldn't they?
Not necessarily, because I've already pointed out there are other countries that are not in the EU, and their citizens don't require visas to go either to move into the EU or to travel into the EU. Yes, well, I've just pointed out that people in Switzerland, people in Norway, people in Iceland don't have to have visas.
So in Northern Ireland,
the majority of UK people are not living in Iceland, Switzerland, or Norway.
But are you
Hold on.
I want to ask a question because I'm interested in this. Sammy, so are you telling me now any Northern Ireland citizen could get up, go move to Switzerland, set up a house in Switzerland and wouldn't need any type of visa?
I don't know. I can't tell you about the exact relationship between Northern Ireland and Switzerland.
That's the example you've just used.
What I've said to you is that people from Switzerland and from Norway and from Iceland can travel into the EU without visas.
I'm not talking about travel. We're talking about residents now. We're talking about expats.
If people take up residence in those countries that don't require visas either, they simply go and they live in those countries.
Really?
And there are arrangements.
Yes, you can do that, right?
For them. Where the difficulties might come is what would happen if they took sick in those countries or whatever, and that's where, and there are already arrangements in place anyway, that's where the UK would then have to pay some of the health bills. But that occurs at present, and indeed, I think currently we pay about £500 million pounds a year to EU countries for health bills for people who are from the United Kingdom and require health care in those countries.
Let's take one more call on this. Tom in Banbridge. Morning, Tom.
Morning, Stephen. Morning, gentlemen. I would like to ask an economy question. I understand that Britain pays £22.5 billion into the European Union each year. They get £8.5 billion back. I would like to ask the question, where does the other £14 billion go and how is it spent?
Tom Kelly?
Well, at the minute, I couldn't put my hand on my heart and tell you how that money's spent, so I'm not going to try to do what Sammy does and bluff you through it. What I do know from the reports that have been carried out, and the PwC one being the most recent, is that we are a net beneficiary here in Northern Ireland of EU funding. And Sammy doesn't like to hear that because it impacts on the farmers and the food producers and the universities here. But that's just a matter of fact. That's the truth. And on top of that, we also are huge recipients of £1.5 billion worth of EU peace money that has come in, which has sustained a lot of projects right across Northern Ireland.
Well, in fact, Tom, you're wrong in that. And indeed, the report which was published this morning and which prompted this debate gives the figures, official figures. First of all, DFP in 2016 indicated that we get £320 million from the Common Fisheries Policy, Investment for Growth and Jobs, and the CAP from the EU. We get £50 million annually for peace and Interreg funding, and our contribution based on the UK's contribution is £366 million.
Sam, the opening of this report actually turns around and says Northern Ireland disproportionately affected by Brexit.
I'm the official figures to you. These are DFP figures. We know what we get from Europe in terms of peace money and structural funds, £50 million a year. We know from DFP that we get £320 million from all of the ones which I've outlined, and we know that if you take our 2.9% contribution to the EU's to the UK's contribution to the EU, we pay £366 million. That does not make us a net beneficiary, and indeed, as we move towards 2020 and agricultural subsidies go down, the EU contribution goes up. And
of course, your generous Treasury is going to come in and pick up the bill, which is amazing. They haven't done it in 30 years.
Now, Tom, I know you don't like those figures, but...
Sammy, the bottom line is, the report that you said
those
you wanted...
Those are figures which are published in the report.
The report actually says...
Okay, all right.
...impacted.
Tom, thank you. Sammy, thank you.